Hey, everybody, this is Heidi St. John. Welcome to the Heidi St. John podcast. Today's Mailbox Monday. I'm going to be answering listener questions today. And I also want to go through some of the headlines, particularly as it relates to last Easter, in which the Biden administration declared it was Trans Day of Visibility. There's a little bit of history to this. I think we need to talk about it. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Well, welcome to the podcast today. I hope you guys are doing great and that you had a wonderful Easter. I just returned from a great weekend in Wisconsin. We went to Wisconsin Dells for a homeschool event there, and it was just so wonderful to meet so many podcast listeners. Thank you guys for coming out and saying hello. And my speaking season is just getting going. So you can find out where I'm going to be at HeidiStJohn.com/events. I want to say thank you to the Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin for inviting me out. On April 18th and 19th, I will be flying down to Fort Worth, Texas for the Texas Homeschool Coalition homeschool event. This will be the second or third time that I've keynoted that event, and I'm very excited to go and spend some time with my friends in the Fort Worth area. So come on out and say hello. All right, let's talk about what happened on Easter Sunday, because many of you noted that I spoke about it on my Instagram page on Easter Sunday, and I said that Joe Biden had declared that day, Easter 2024, as Trans Day of Visibility. And I thought it was in very bad taste. And immediately a whole bunch of, you know, Christians started slamming me and saying, you know, March 31st has always been set aside to honor the transgender movement. But this year's commemoration coincided with Easter Sunday, which, as everyone knows, is very significant as it relates to Christians and Catholics around the world. That is the day that we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you that, and I'm sorry, you guys, but I'm sticking to my belief on this. I believe that the weirdo that came up with Trans Day of Visibility, by the way, his name is Rachel Crandall Crocker, and Rachel Crandall Crocker, look him up. Just do an image search. I dare you, just for fun. Look him up. This is the guy that created this so-called holiday, this Trans Day of Visibility. And no one is ever going to convince me that this guy didn't know that when he said, I know, every year on March 31st, we will celebrate Trans Day of Visibility. And somehow it just escaped him that every once in a while, March 31st is going to coincide with Easter. I think these people know exactly what they are doing. We are not a serious country anymore. We just have to smile and pretend that we are. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, for goodness sake, you know, who invents this kind of a day? Well, we know where it comes from. It comes from Satan himself. He invented Trans Day of Visibility, but we don't want to introduce him to anybody. And so we're going to introduce this Rachel Crandall Crocker dude. And I just want to read you some of his poetry. Okay. This is the founder of Trans Day of Visibility. And this is one of his poems. I wonder about fish sometimes. That's the name of this poem. Can fish be gay? Do they buy little magazines, little fish magazines to help them decide? Do they go to fish festivals to be together and listen to music? Do they always have alternative fish day and Valentine's Day celebrations? Do they have special radar to detect each other down the block? Do they have trouble telling their parents about their orientation? Do they go to fishy drag shows and stick soggy money into sparkly fish costumes? Do they write poems about being gay? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the founder of Trans Day of Visibility. Shame on the Biden administration for allowing this to overshadow the celebration of the resurrection of the Lord. But then this is where we are as a country. And as I said, you know, on my Instagram page on Easter, Joe Biden's not going to get the last word. This Rachel Crandall Crocker dude is not going to get the last word. God's going to get the last word. And what we are seeing happen in our country, and I was thinking about this as I was driving into downtown Portland. I had to go down there the other day to help my daughter get fitted for a pair of point shoes. And it's just so sad. You know, I drive through what used to be a very beautiful city, and it is covered with graffiti. I mean, it is literally covered in graffiti now. Tents. I saw a half-naked woman hanging out behind a fence under an overpass on I-84 when I was coming home from my trip down there. And these are signs of a city in decline. Portland, Oregon is a city in decline. And when Joe Biden stands up there, you know, being flanked by two Easter bunnies and declares that what is arguably one of the most holy days of the Christian calendar to be Trans Day of Visibility, when he bans religious symbols from the Easter celebrations at the White House, mark my words, we are a country in decline. We're a country in decline, and we can bury our heads in the sand. I know a lot of you were unhappy that I pointed it out on my Instagram page and on my Facebook page. And some of you said, well, it, you know, Trans Day of Visibility has been that way for several years. The Biden administration didn't just declare it, but they had the opportunity to say, this is Easter in the United States. We are celebrating today what is one of the most holiest days on the Christian calendar and for Catholics around the world. And I just want to say happy Easter. And instead, it was eclipsed by the insidious lie that is transgenderism. And you can't tell me for 1 minute that that wasn't done with maleficence. You just can't tell me that. I just don't believe it. I think they did it absolutely on purpose. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And we need to pray for this country. And we need to pray for better leaders, that godly men and women would stand in defense of truth. What the Biden administration is asking you to do, and what the trans movement and the alphabet mafia is asking you to do, is to bear false witness. They want you to look at a dude who's dressed like a woman and use she, her pronouns and bear false witness. Except for we are commanded not to bear false witness. And so as long as you stand on that, you're going to be ridiculed and mocked in the Biden administration. You know, the one good thing I can say about the whole thing is that he has made it very clear where he stands. This man is not a friend of Christians. He is not a Christian. This is a man who is ardently pro-abortion. This is a man who would remove any vestige of Christ from the holiday that celebrates the resurrection of Jesus. And this is who's in the White House right now. And when God's people who know better stay silent, this is what we get. This is what we get. When the wicked are in power, the righteous groan. And the groan was heard around the world this last Easter Sunday. And I don't think it was an accident. I think it was absolutely done on purpose. And it's just another indicator to me that we are, in fact, a nation in decline. I want to start answering your questions today. First, from Tina in Oklahoma. She said, Heidi, this is my first year to homeschool my three boys, ages 10, 7, and 4. Good job, Tina. They were on board with leaving public school to learn at home with me. However, I have a 13-year-old daughter who wanted to stay in school. We live in a fairly conservative district. She leads FCA, I'm assuming that's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and is involved in her church. I feel like homeschooling my kids is an act of obedience to God, but my daughter completely rejects the idea of staying home. I feel like there's an unbalance in my relationship with her versus my son's because she is in public school. I don't know what to do. If I should force her to stay home and possibly damage our relationship, or let her choose and fight this separation and risk leaving her in the care of the secular government-run public institution. All right. So first of all, Tina, you're not alone. Some of you may have heard me share my story when my oldest daughter, who's now in her 30s, was 13 years old, and I made the stupid mistake of telling her that she could choose where she went to school. And of course, because she was 13 years old and not understanding the forces that are at play in the government school system, not understanding, you know, what she would be exposed to. What do you guys think that my then 13-year-old daughter cared about? She cared about friends. She wanted to have she's just like me. She wanted to have a social life. She wanted to meet people. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those are good things. But there are lots of ways to do that without letting your kids, or requiring them rather, to swim through a cesspool, which is the public schools, to get an education. Remember, it's the public schools that are telling your children that gender is just a social construct. What a bunch of garbage this is. The science is evident. Our bodies are self-evident. We are definitely male and female, and we are not in between. And yet, this is what our kids are being taught.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
The social contagion that is transgenderism has originated in our schools and is spreading all across the United States rapidly. Although I do think we have reached a tipping point. I mean, we'll see. But I think ordinary Americans and, you know, countries like France and Switzerland now are banning these kinds of procedures on children because they're recognizing, oh, hey, you don't treat a mental illness with a life-altering surgery. You don't do that. But where is this lie being precipitated? In the government school system. The government school system is doing exactly what it was designed to do. It has been hijacked by the radical left in this country and the likes of Planned Parenthood and GLAAD and PFLAG and every other disgusting organization that you can imagine. It's a petri dish. The public schools are a petri dish for garbage organizations. They just are. And so we know that children are absolutely influenced by what's happening around them, absolutely influenced by the bad influences that are around them. In fact, Jesus said that when a student was fully trained, he would be like his teacher. So if your kids are constantly being taught that there's 400 genders and they can be a narwhal whale on Friday and, oh, hey, let's celebrate Trans Day of Visibility. By the way, a trans person is not hard to spot. So if they want visibility, they got it. They already got it because all you got to do is look and see what's happening across the United States and in every sports league in America to see that kids are being subjected to grown people masquerading around as the opposite sex and then winning trophies and taking scholarships away from girls who have worked their entire lives to get them. It's garbage. And where is it coming from? It's coming from the schools. And so to me, when you say that you feel like homeschooling your kids is an act of obedience, I'm going to say full stop right there. So it looks to me, Tina, like you know what you want to do and you know what God wants you to do. Maybe that's a better way to say it. You know what you are supposed to do, what the Lord's asked you to do. But this little spirit, this nagging spirit called fear is keeping you from walking out that obedience. And I feel for you because fear is real. And I have experienced it myself. And when I went to my daughter with my knees knocking years and years and years ago and said, you know what? I made a mistake. I told you that you could make this decision. And I realize now it was never your decision to make. This is my decision and your father's decision. We want your input and we absolutely want to hear what you have to say. But at the end of the day, we will answer to the Lord for your education. When we as parents take what is rightfully ours, which is the authority that God has given us to make wise and good decisions for our children. And our children say, we don't like it. I mean, how many times have you said, hey, kids, you know, try your vegetables. Oh, I don't like broccoli. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. And you've said, no, I really want you to do that. Or you've said, no, you can't have a brownie for dinner. You need to have good, solid food. I want you to have a bowl of chicken soup. I want you to drink a glass of milk. You know, we make those decisions because we know that our kids will be healthy for it, right? We want our children to be healthy. It's the same thing with education, and maybe even more important, because we're saying to our children, this is not good for you, this is good for you. Because we're saying to our children, this is not appropriate and good for you, and we're going to do the appropriate and good thing for you and take charge of who is teaching you. And your kids don't have to like it. And so I would just encourage you, you know, because I know, Tina, that you're not the only one who's feeling this way. And we made the decision. And my daughter cried. I mean, she was just like, Mom, I don't want to do that. And so I sat down with her. I said, what is it that you want? Tell me what you're worried about by being homeschooled through high school. And she said, what do you guys think she said? She said, I want friends. She wants all the things that all of us wanted. And so we worked very hard to create those experiences for her in a safe and healthy and good and God-honoring environment. And we knew that what God's word said is true, like bad company corrupts good character. Now, does this mean that the homeschool community is blemish free and there are no bad characters or bad influences in homeschooling? Absolutely not. right? We live in a sinful, broken world. There are bad influences in homeschooling, but by far and away, it is better for your children if you can be the one who directs their teaching and directs the education of your children. And so I would encourage you, this is not the time for you to be your daughter's friend. This is the time for you to be your daughter's mother. She only gets one, and you are her mother. So you guys need to make this decision. Let your daughter know we love you. You know, she could probably still continue to do the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or whatever it is that she's doing. But if you know that God has asked you to take her out of the schools, you need to obey the Lord. You need to obey the Lord. We make decisions for our kids every day that they don't like, and we do it because we know that that's what's in their best interest. So I just want to encourage you. I'm praying for you. And for all of the pushback that I got from my daughter when my husband and I said, no, we're not going to send you to a public school. We're going to continue to homeschool you. She is so thankful that we made that decision. She is now a beautiful mother of four herself. And guess what? She's homeschooling her own children. And so you do what you know is right and let the Lord be the glue that keeps that relationship solid. An anonymous listener in Virginia wrote in to say, Dear Heidi, I love your podcast and try not to miss an episode. Well, thank you. My husband and I are born again believers, but my entire extended family are unbelievers and oftentimes scoffers. Do you have any advice for maintaining respectful, healthy relationships with them without being sucked into their worldly orbit? I'm struggling to not spend far too much of my time catering to their emotional needs. I've always been the peacemaker in our family, so I tend to be on the receiving end of everyone's emotional garbage. But if I try to maintain a healthy distance or invite them to church events with us or even share how the Lord is the answer to whatever plight they're dealing with, they either scoff or shame me for being a bad daughter, sister, granddaughter, niece, etc. All right. So this is a really good question. I have had this experience in my own family, and I'll tell you, there's two things that I want to encourage you with. First of all, you are to be the fragrance of Christ. And so you have an opportunity to love your family. Love your family. Let them know that you love them. Tell them that you love them. Engage them in conversation. Show up when it's appropriate. You do not have to be anyone's doormat. I think sometimes as Christians, and I have seen this over and over again, you know, just as a woman who grew up in a dysfunctional home, I've seen it over and over again, Christians who go back to abusive relationships because they think that's what God would have them do. And I don't see that. I don't see it anywhere in Scripture. I think that we are to love each other, that we are to love like Christ loved the church, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, that we are to pray for one another. And so pray for your family for sure. But if they're mocking you, shaming you, being scoffers in your life, the Bible says, you know, don't sit in the council of the wicked or stand in the seat of scoffers, right? We're not to do that. We are to walk in right relationship with the Lord and with each other. And as much as it depends on us, we are to live in peace with one another. And so when this is happening to you, and it sounds like it's happening over and over again, I wouldn't have any qualms at all with putting a little bit of a buffer between me and the people in my family that felt the need to shame and poke fun of and otherwise, demonstrate unkindness toward you for your faith in Jesus Christ. So let them know that you love them, but you don't have to, participate in, you know, things that they're doing when you know that you're going to go and you're going to be made fun of or whatever it is, you know that that's what's going to happen. You don't have to go. Now, I'm not saying, you know, distance yourself and never show up again, but you might want to try being a little bit more selective. And I think in that way, you might find some peace in your life. Mia Greenhill left a comment on our YouTube channel. Thanks for watching YouTube, by the way, you guys. Really appreciate that. She said, thank you for always speaking the truth in love, especially when it comes to homeschooling. Your faithfulness in exhorting us mamas to stay in the battle for our children's hearts and minds is a huge blessing. Keep trusting the Lord to strengthen each of us and protect the next generation. Boy, you know what, Mia, thank you for leaving that. And it really is about the next generation. That's why we're doing this. You know, a lot of times I'll sign a letter for the nonprofit organization. Like we just sent out a fundraising letter. The Homeschool Resource Center was just hit with almost $123,000 property tax bill. If you guys feel led to help us, we would greatly appreciate that. And remember, those gifts are tax deductible, so you can go to Firmly Planted Family and see how you can give to the nonprofit organization. But I often sign my letters from Firmly Planted Family for Christ and the next generation. Because that's what this is about. That's why I urge you, get off the bench, get onto the battlefield. There is no more room for neutrality in the life of a Christian. These are not neutral times. These are times to engage in the culture around us and stand for truth. For the month of May, I'm going to be teaching a study on truth, veritas. Why does it matter that we stand in truth? And I hope you guys will join me for that. Right now, by the way, we just started, so it's not too late for you guys to do this. We literally just started on a study that I have written called Access. And I think you guys are going to love it. In fact, if you're watching on YouTube, I'll put it up here so you can see it. There you go. That's what it looks like. It's beautifully illustrated. It's called Access, the Life-Changing Course-Directing Power of Prayer. And if you want to learn about prayer and why it is so powerful and why the Bible instructs us to engage in this beautiful way that we have to communicate with the one who made us, you can join me at the Faith That Speaks community, faiththatspeaks.com. I had another really sweet comment on YouTube from Marlene Foreman. Marlene, hey girl, I saw your comment. She said, thanks for being a beautiful voice for our kids. Marlene, thank you for that. And I'd like to encourage you guys, be a voice. You also can be a voice for our children. An anonymous listener in North Carolina said that she's having issues with her son. He is so mean to his little sister, has an attitude with his dad and I. He gets punished by removing electronics, adding chores, but nothing is changing. I am at a loss. I feel so defeated. I would love for you to do a study on parenting. Actually, that will be a study that we do at some time soon at Faith That Speaks. And honestly, right now, Anonymous, I would encourage you. I have a book called Born on a Battlefield, Spiritual Strategies for Moms in the Trenches. And you can get that right now by going to my website, HeidiStJohn.com, and just look at the books that I've written. It's a relatively new book. And again, that's called Born on a Battlefield, Spiritual Strategies for Moms in the Trenches. So go check that out. And I appreciate you being a part of the Faith That Speaks community. And I see here that you love the Bible studies there. So thank you for that. Listen, I think the most important thing you can do, because you haven't told me how old your son is here. So I don't know if we're dealing with like a 13, 14-year-old boy or a 9-year-old boy or an 18-year-old boy. But it seems to me that whenever you are having issues with your kids, the first and the foremost thing is to commit that to the Lord in prayer, because you need wisdom. Because what works with one child may not work with another child. You need to know the currency that your son deals in. And I often tell the story when I'm out on the road of one of my children that was particularly strong-willed. And man, I had a hard time. I'm telling you what, if I said stand up, this kid sat down. If I said run, this kid would walk. If I said it was green, this kid would say it was blue. I mean, I'm telling you what, I had trouble with this particular child every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And I started asking the Lord to help me understand the heart of my child. And my prayer specifically was, Lord, help me deal in the currency that my child deals in. And you know what? God showed me that particular child did not like isolation. And so I was trying all kinds of things. I was doing extra chores. I was, having this kid write sentences. I was, trying. And when the Lord showed me what it was that would get the attention of this really difficult kid, things began to change. You need to be able to speak in a way that your child understands and discipline in a way that actually reaches the heart of your son. And God will show you how to do that. And I, outside of that, I would say, you're really on the right track. I just think, electronics, for goodness sake. I mean, electronics, social media, all of it, it's hurting our kids. And you've got an opportunity to pray for your, let them know, say, son, I am praying for you. This is an issue that if you don't get a hold of this when you're a young person, it will haunt you your entire life. You will have trouble in relationships your entire life. Let them know how much you love them and how much you're praying for them. It's so important to do that. And then keep me posted, because I love to hear how things are going with your son. Also, I want to remind you again, check out my Bible study, Born on a Battlefield, Spiritual Strategies for Moms in the Trenches. I think it will really encourage you. And you guys will remember that I did a interview with my friend Leanne Mancini. She has a book called Raising Kids to Follow Christ, a phenomenal book, by the way. I hope you guys will check it out. And she says, I pray that you never grow weary of encouraging parents like you do. You're such a blessing and encouragement. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad, because this listener was saying, even when I say the same thing over and over again, it's exactly what I need to hear. I think sometimes, you guys, I appreciate your encouragement and, writing in and just letting me know how you're doing and what things are encouraging to you on the podcast and what's not, you guys can reach out to me at HeidiStJohn.com/mailboxMonday. I'd love to hear from you. But I think that, you know, like if I could go back, people ask me this sometimes, if I could go back and say something to my younger self. So I started homeschooling in my 20s and now I'm in my 50s. If I could go back, I would say to my younger self, be still. Be still. Because the most important thing that I did with my kids was to lead them to the Lord every day, to read God's word to them, to read those missionary stories that were just, you know, life-changing, and to spend time together as a family. And I worried a lot when I was a younger homeschool mom. I worried, you know, am I crossing all the T's? Am I dotting all the I's? Am I messing up my kids? And I wish that I had had a mentor in my life, an older mom who had been there and done that, who could walk the road with me and say, nope, you're doing just fine. You know, by the grace of God, the Lord helped me to homeschool all seven of my kids. But I'll tell you what, there were days, you guys, there were days. There was yelling involved. There were hard days. There were days when I was crying. There were days when I wondered if I was doing the right thing. And you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing by taking control of your children's education and pouring into them, because very soon the season will be over and your children will be having children and you will recognize, oh my goodness, I was raising parents for my grandchildren. That's exactly what you're doing. We had another YouTube comment. Lots of these today, you guys. A whole bunch of you really enjoyed my interview with my friend Carla Marie Williams. She was talking about unschooling. And I'm glad to see so many of you listening to this. Evelyn said it was wonderful to hear her. It's like Jesus was just oozing out of her. I think that's true, right? Because there's a joy in her having figured out that God gave her these children so that she could steward their little hearts and minds as they grew up. And that stewarding means finding out what they're good at and helping them flourish in the gifts that God's given them. So I love that. Another person said that Carla is a lovely lady. She enjoyed hearing her story. So if you guys haven't heard that, that episode is called Unschooling, Does It Really Work? With Carla Marie Williams. I hope you guys will go back and listen to that. Nancy said that she homeschooled two of their four for 2.5 years before getting discouraged enough to give up. Moms need to hear more success stories. And I couldn't agree with you more. If you're listening to this today and you're on the verge of giving up or you're tired, this is the time of year, by the way, when everyone gets tired. All right. We're getting to the end of the school year. I always tell moms, if you can make it to May and you're just burned out and stressed out and done, it's okay to stop for the year. It's okay. Put the books away, take a break, take a walk. Weather's getting nice. I mean, I'm looking out my window right here at Firmly Planted and it is absolutely gorgeous outside. And I'm telling you what, go take a walk with your kids, right? Go do something fun with them. Go out for ice cream. You know, well, it's Biden's economy. Maybe get one ice cream cone and everyone can split it. but spend time with your kids today. You guys, you will not be sorry when you spend time with your children, and you will not be sorry if you could hang in there. I think there's a reason why God's word says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because if you don't give up, you're going to reap a reward, and a reward is coming. And the reward, you guys, is that you can say that you have no greater joy than to know that your children are walking in the truth. Is it a guarantee? No. But home education is about reclaiming the time that the enemy takes from you when we put our kids in school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months a year. And you get that time back, and then you get to reclaim it in the name of Jesus and spend time with your kids. It's just, man, I cry when I think about it. This is my my busy season, so I'm out on the road a lot right now, and I'm meeting homeschool moms this time of year, and so many of you come up to my table, and you're tired, and you're kind of burned out, and some of you are stressed out, and I'm telling you, that's where the devil wants you. He wants you to be like, you know what? You stink at this. Don't listen. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? You are doing exactly what God wants you to do. Hang in there. All right, couple more that I'm going to go through today. Abby in Ohio wrote in to say, is there a group organization that you know of that can help small towns or cities do something about pride events in their communities? Our small rural city, she put the word city in air quotes there, has had a pride event that has involved drag queens and children in June for the last 2 years. Like, we're getting ready. Like, June, the alphabet mafia has ruined the month of June, right? June used to be about fathers, and now it's about sexual perversion. Like, truly, that's what it is. She says, and this goes to tell, this is Abby in small town Ohio telling me that this has basically hijacked her little town. She says that this pride event is advertised as, quote, family friendly, but kids tip drag queens and some kids even dress in drag themselves. I tried to spread the word and others voiced concerns to our representatives, our local officials, police, and county sheriff last year. We even provided photos and videos of the pride group posted of participating children in the previous years, and they said they could do nothing. What can we do this year to try and prevent this from happening to our local children to watch? Even local, clearly non-biblical churches and our local health organizations have booths celebrating this event. It is disheartening. Well, Abby, I'm telling you what right now. First of all, I want to remind you that you serve the Lord of Heaven's armies, and he sees it. He sees what's happening to his kids. And this is the culture that we live in right now. And we largely live in this culture because Christians gave it up. We just yielded the ground. We yielded the education of our children to ungodly people. We've yielded our city councils and our governorships and our mayorships to people who don't have the spirit of the living God in them. And I'm telling you what, right now, this is a spiritual battle. You can't fight a spiritual battle using a worldly weapon. And the weapons of your warfare are praise and prayer. And the weapons of your warfare, according to God's word, are prayer. That's a big one. Join me at my Bible study, you guys, for the month of May. Boy, we're gonna pray our way through to the month of June and remember what God says. But I just want to encourage you, you know, you can still be a light. You can be a light. I don't think you can stop this from coming to your town. These things are embedded. This has been happening for generations. And now, you know, people are just starting to wake up and go, oh my goodness, you know, my little small town Ohio has been hijacked for the month of June. The nation is hijacked for the month of June. And this is absolutely true. And until Christians begin again to lovingly just stop going, right? I mean, like here, our fire departments and stuff, dude, they fly the gay flag. It's craziness, right? We're the laughingstock of the world, by the way. I mean, nations are mocking us, right? From admirals, you know, the dude who calls himself Rachel Levine, who's always talking about inclusivity in our military and all those kinds of things. We are the laughingstock of the entire world right now. But this is exactly what God said would happen. And so your first response should be to pray. And maybe it's to go around to other churches who you know are, don't waste your time on the woke churches that have, you know, bought into this ideology and this insidious lie. Go to the churches that are Bible believing and say, what if we prayed, you know, every night of that festival or whatever it is, what if you offered something at your church and you guys did something so that Christian kids had an alternative, something that they would want to go to? You can do your own thing. You don't have to participate. And then commit it to prayer, because I'm telling you what, it is so important. Prayer changes things. The Bible says that when we pray, the Lord of Heaven's armies literally bends down to listen. God cares about what's happening to our children. He cares about it. And Firmly Planted Family, this wonderful place that we have right here, God gave it to us. And I told you, this building was largely donated. And that's the Lord. That is the Lord. He sees, he cares about what's happening to your children. And I think, you know, rather than Christians wringing their hands and getting all upset and trying to figure out how you can cancel it, why don't we start coming up with ideas that demonstrate the incomparable love of Jesus that is so welcoming and so wonderful that other people are drawn to it. So maybe that is something that you can be praying about as the month of June gets closer, because I'm telling you what, I hear this from parents all over the country. I know it's discouraging and I know you're frustrated, but Abby, I want to challenge you as a sister in the Lord, ask God, what would he have you do? What can you do to be the fragrance of Christ to the people that are around you and hopefully help some of these little children? God hates what's happening to his kids. He said it is better for us to have a millstone hung around our neck and be thrown into the ocean than to lead even one of his little ones astray. And judgment's coming, and God will not be mocked. And at some point, this thing will end. But for right now, we have the opportunity to stand, to be the love of Christ to the world around us. And maybe everybody that's listening to this, you know, maybe that's what we start doing. Maybe we just start offering alternative events for people who want their children to be involved in the community, but don't want to expose them to the filth and the lie of what, unfortunately, what the month of June has come to represent. One last question from Lacey, and she said, "Hi, Heidi, I love listening to your podcast. I was wondering if you had any good suggestions for where to buy clothes at affordable pricing and support a good company. Every time I go to Carter's, oh, I know, girl, I got you. Like Lululemon, all of them. It's just garbage. Go to Public Square. Now, you're not going to find, if you're looking for good prices, those are often small companies that are struggling. It's very hard to compete with the likes of, you know, Carter's and some of these huge conglomerates who make clothing for children. But I'll tell you what, I haven't stepped foot in Target in about 8.5 years, and I don't miss it. I used to miss it. I don't miss it anymore. Find a secondhand store that's owned by someone that you trust and give your money to them. We can't always, you know, just buy things from companies that we support, but we want to, as much as we can, put our money to causes that are good. And when we spend our hard-earned dollars, we're voting with those dollars. So I want to encourage you to check out Public Square. They're doing really amazing things. You can download the Public Square app and you can find good companies there and you can support them directly. A lot of these companies are pro-life companies and they are ardently pro-life. And they've come out and they have declared that in a world that's hostile. And so I think that's worth supporting, even though it costs a little bit more money. Around my neck of the woods, I love to go thrift store shopping. My friend Brooke Nielsen, if you guys are in Battleground, you know I love me some kids' clothes. My friend Brooke Nielsen, I've been consigning our family's clothes there for, over a decade now. So I think it's important, you know, find small businesses and support them whenever you can. You guys, that's all the time I have for today. I love your questions. Please keep them coming. You can submit them to me at HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. If you want to see where I will be, go to my website and click on the events tab. And as I said, I will be speaking in Fort Worth, Texas, April 18th and 19th for the Texas Homeschool Coalition Conference. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to have a hootin' hollering good time, and we're going to dish out a whole lot of encouragement for the men and women of God. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. Love your people well, and I'll see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and